We shouldn't have to change our lives to suit the beauty tools we use. The beauty tools should change to suit our lives. And that was a quote from Iris Smith. I'm so excited to talk with Iris today. We're going to talk about her journey from starting a business in her living room to becoming a brand sold in over 2,000 stockists all around Australia and growing. You may have heard the brand and the name before, but I'll just recap you. Iris Smith was on Shark Tank and one of the sharks effectively said, yep, I'll invest into your business. By the time that that all happened, her business had grown that much that she did not need the shark. Iris originally studied a Bachelor of Science in Interior Architecture and is now a founder of a beauty product. This conversation, we dig deep into how she got the brand off the ground. And this isn't just for business owners or aspiring business owners. This is for anyone who loves a good story about a great young Aussie out there crushing it with Aussie-made products. You're going to have the best time listening to Iris tell her story today. Now, we can't do today's episode without the help of Sky Wealth. You must get your income insurance in order. There was a recent poll in the Facebook group, and it was a question around, do you have your insurances? There were so many people that ticked no, like I think maybe 60% of people. But it'd be interesting to know, of those people that ticked, I do not have income insurance, how many of you have your car insured? Your car might be worth $20,000 or $30,000. Your income could be worth millions over your career. So please reach out to Sky Wealth today and have a chat to them about how you can get your insurances in place and to protect the most important thing, which is you. My name's Glenn James. We're going to talk about the quick flick with Iris Smith, and this is Money.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
What I like to do when I interview people that are like doing cool and fun stuff is start with like, what does right now today look like for you? And then we're going to step back and kind of build up how we got there. And then we'll answer some questions. Now, for everyone playing at home, we'll talk about the business. We'll talk about maybe the product. We'll talk about team leadership style. Then once we have a bit of a break and I have a drink of water, we'll come back and talk about more personal money stuff and life stuff for Iris, and we'll see if we can get into some trouble along the way. So, Iris, what does your life and business look like as at today?
Yeah, sure. So I'm 7 years into my business journey at the moment. Currently, the business is sort of split between online and in-store all across Australia. So we've got just under 2,000 retailers Australia-wide, including Coles, Terry White, Priceline. And online, we have our own online store, but we're also ranged in Iconic, Universal Store. And yeah, we've got a warehouse in Australia. We're also based in the US and in the UK. We have warehouse presence. We've got retailers also in those vicinities, and then online retailers in Thailand, Singapore, UAE, Germany.
Wow.
Quite a few. So yeah, really heavily in Australia, but also starting to explore some international markets. The range, I actually counted it yesterday, the range is just over 20 SKUs. So we started with one, which is the winged eyeliner stamp that you mentioned. And then, yeah, last couple of years have really expanded the product offering, gone into a whole range of categories. We started with eyeliner. We're now heavily in sun care, tanning, brows, lashes, really a range of beauty spaces that I felt needed improvement.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I just wanted to kind of let everyone know, when we talk about the quick flick today and the business, if I ask Iris a question and the information isn't public, I wouldn't expect her to answer, much like when someone asks me about my private company, it's potentially none of your business. So just giving everyone a bit of a heads up there, because I'm interested in knowing, you know, if there is any type of public information out there about the revenue that the business turns over today, or if it's not exactly public knowledge, can you give us some type of idea?
Yeah, that's something that I chose to stop sharing quite a few years ago. But I mean, some things I can share in terms of if you want to sort of get a gauge for the size.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, 2,000 retailers Australia-wide is pretty huge. And for our eyeliner stamp, I mean, yeah, I've been going for 7 years, but we ticked over just over a million eyeliner stamps sold last year. So, yeah, that gives you a bit of an idea of the size.
Yeah, so it's obviously a lot more than the in the living room when you started that 7 years ago. It's wild.
It's a lot more than the 800 units that I first purchased when I first started.
How did that feel? Like when you first started taking the risk, were you kind of well underway and then, you know, you were kind of doing it for a year and then you're like, oh, we're onto something here, and then you were approached by Shark Tank or whatnot to come on. What was that process like?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, initially I put pretty much all of my life savings into buying those first 800 units. So, yeah, I bought 800 units. It scared the shit out of me because I thought, how am I going to find 800 people to buy an eyeliner stamp? And, yeah, I remember it arriving in my living room, the first, like, two boxes. They were huge for me, but now, like, we've got a massive warehouse, so it's a big jump in between. So, yeah, initially when I started, it wasn't an overnight success. It took a bit of traction. I think also when I first started, like, I didn't really tell anybody about it. It was this sort of thing that I did on the side in the middle of my uni break, and then came back to uni and everyone was like, what are you doing on your break starting a business? Like, so random. So, yeah, it took a little bit of time. I guess I started to see a bit of traction from social media, just posting organically, sending to influencers. I was fortunate at the time, like, influencers were sort of having their peak moment where you could get an influencer to post for $500 and you'd get $5,000 in return. Those were the sweet days. And then, yeah, I got approached by Daily Mail. They wanted to write a story on me. And then off the back of that, a Shark Tank producer saw that article. It was a, you know, chain of events. And she sent me an email. I think it went to my spam folder initially, saying like, hey, I'm a producer from Shark Tank. I'm looking for businesses to audition. I really think you should audition. I read it and thought, me? Audition? I'm 3 months into my business. Like, these people going on Shark Tank are established businesses. So I pushed it to the side at first, which is crazy to think, like, had I not gone on. And then literally the last minute, I don't know, something came over me. It was midnight. Submissions were due at midnight. So I'd missed the cutoff and I was like, oh, Iris, just do it. Filmed something on my iPhone. It was terrible quality. It was probably like UGC before we even knew it. But back then everyone was doing this like polished content.
Yeah, yeah.
Filmed me like packing orders in my living room at midnight. Sent it off. Next morning, had a call from the producer. Love it. Love your video. It's so raw and down to earth. I'm like, oh, God. And then, yeah, ended up going on the show. So that's a summary of about 4 months in a few minutes.
Wow. And, you know, we've actually had Jane Liu on the podcast recently, who's currently now one of the Sharks. Like, when you went on Shark Tank at the time, was it, you were 22?
Yeah, 2018, yes. I just turned 23.
Yeah, yeah. So now you're 29? 29,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, what was the experience like? What was going through your mind when you had to walk out? Did you meet any of the Sharks prior, or was it literally like a Shark Tank?
It was honestly the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done. Like, I was shitting myself going in. I was so nervous. And I would say, like, I'm pretty good at presenting. Like, I'd just come out of uni and doing, like, presentations in front of our whole year group and in front of lecturers presenting my ideas, designs. So I feel like I'd been prepped for the last 4 years, but I was still shitting myself. So, yeah, you don't meet any of the Sharks beforehand. You literally walk in. That's the first time you see them. All eyes are on you. There's cameras everywhere. And like you have to follow, you have to walk in a certain way and stand like on this line and wait for the producer to like thumb you in that you can start. So it's not just like delivering your speech, it's making sure you do all of those things right for the film.
Well, they're making TV as well.
Yeah, exactly. And also in the back of your mind, I'm like, if I mess up, they're going to use this because that makes good TV. So I'm like, gosh, don't mess up, don't mess up. So yeah, it was very nerve-wracking, and oh my gosh, I think I memorized and went over my pitch 1,000 times, like constantly, but, because you don't have any cards to assist you, you have to just present it off the top of your head.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but following the episode, if you are approached and someone agreed to actually invest with you, you could do your own research on them, their strings, their offer, and then decide whether you want money. Is that correct?
Yeah, so the actual show deal, like the deal on the show isn't a real...
Binding.
Yeah. There's still due diligence that happens afterwards, which I think is fair enough. I mean, you get 5 minutes to pitch, like it's not enough time to actually, you know, both sides look into each other and what that looks like. So, yeah, the due diligence process for me, like I filmed in February of 2018 and then that process didn't start until June. So there's quite a big gap because the Sharks are obviously so busy filming for a few weeks. Mm. And that's one of the reasons why I ended up pulling out of the deal is when the due diligence actually started, my business had grown so much that I didn't actually need the deal anymore, and the investment, like the evaluation had grown from there as well.
What did the Shark originally, and who was the Shark?
So it was Andrew Banks, and he offered $300,000 for 27.5% stake. So I think at the time, yeah, they valued my business at $1 million, which was like a great, very flattering for me because I was only like 4 months in at that time.
Totally, totally. Yeah, it must feel good to, you know, in that 6 months have the growth to go, you know what, I don't need the $300,000.
Yeah, and that money, I'd gone in wanting it to assist me in going into retail because I identified very quickly that customers were wanting to purchase this product in store or at least trial it in store because we had 4 different sizes at the time. I went in wanting funds for that retail launch and also help with actually finding a retailer to take us. And I think maybe 2 weeks after I filmed, Priceline approached me.
Wow.
Organically just sent me an email. During that time period, my business grew, it was very profitable, and I had the funds available to actually go at it alone.
So at all through the process, did you ever borrow money to start the business or was it cash flowed 100%?
No, never borrowed any money, no.
Wow, that's so amazing. Second question, if it's public knowledge or not, are you the only owner or is there someone else in the background or you prefer not to say?
No, I'm the only owner, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. That's amazing. Well done. When you obviously went on Shark Tank, you had the one product, which was the wings. And every time I see wings on women, I'm like, geez, that's so cool. How do they do it so neat? And they probably use your products. So I actually like it. But what I'm getting at is the first product was something that was actually a need in the marketplace.
Yeah.
And then we know with all things there are life cycles, it's predominantly or potentially a fashion item at the time and a style. So in the back of your mind where you're like, okay, this has taken off. Now I've got to future-proof the business. What was the process from going from the first SKU to the second and third?
Yeah, no, definitely. You raise a good point because I see a lot of businesses who start off with a great product but they're too reliant on that one product, and once it sort of does its product life cycle or trends come and go or a competitor comes in, it can flop as quickly as it rose. I definitely identified that early on, and I was fortunate that eyeliner made a huge, like winged eyeliner specifically made a huge comeback when I started. And then after that, I was sort of always listening into what customers were asking for next. And one of those was false lash application, improving that, because lash glues, oh my gosh, I could never get it to work for me. So the next product I did after that was purely just in response to what customers were asking for, which was a eyeliner and lash glue in one that you could actually just apply directly to your eye. And it sort of works like a sticky note. So you know how like sticky notes stick, but they don't actually dry like glue. So you can kind of take them off and re-stick.
Yep.
So that's kind of what I did with that lash adhesive liner that I did. But then after that, COVID hit and then everyone stopped wearing makeup. And I was like, okay, what's something that is kind of pandemic proof and what's something that people were still using throughout the pandemic? And that was skincare. That just blew up. And also sunscreen as well. So it's interesting. I wonder if I had... It had COVID not hit, if I'd actually gone down the route of skincare and sunscreen, I think I probably would have, had it not hit, I probably would have been more cosmetics focused. But yeah, that sort of forced me to diversify and explore a totally new category. And that ended up being a merge of skincare and sunscreens, which is now the one of our most successful lines, especially in Coles Quick Screen.
Yeah. So... it's there's two things here that I'm seeing, and I think we all go through it as business owners. There is that initial, this is what I'm doing. I see the need. I'm going to do a slight diversification away from this because I know that this next thing is needed. So your other products, products 4, 5, and 6, have you taken your community on a journey, or because you've got over, what, 250,000 Instagram followers, you'd be getting real-time feedback all the time. How long was it till you start seeing trends with what people want or improvements and then developing something based off that feedback? All that to say, do you listen to customers and develop products?
Yes, no, absolutely. So I think, do you know what? It's hard to explain, but I feel like I just have a knack for picking the next trend. Like I'm constantly observing like what's going on in the world, reading reviews, reading what customers are commenting, not just on our stuff, but other brands as well. I feel like it's just a natural ability that I've got to sort of pick that next thing.
Yeah, I would agree. I think as you go down those trends, it's still important to look for feedback to tweak. Yeah. But yeah, that big picture, if you are in that industry and you are in that world, you should be able to know what's going on in your corner 100%. Of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why it's so important to, like, if you're going to start a business, is start it in a space that you're genuinely passionate about. And then it's kind of easier to sort of stay in front. It's the people who aren't genuinely passionate about what they're doing, or they're like just doing it for money, who are the ones who are following in the leader's footsteps, you know?
But you'll find from, well, let me ask you this, from your experience, because this is my experience, like business is tough. Business is hard.
Yeah.
It's not all easy all the time.
Nope.
I found if you don't have that underlying passion when it's a crap time and it's tough, you would quit.
Yeah.
And then why bother in the first place?
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as the going gets tough, it weeds all of those people out who you know, aren't genuine in that space.
Do you spend much on marketing, or is it heavily word of mouth, boots on the ground in retailers to get stockists?
No, we do. It's definitely a split between, yeah, organic and paid. I would say the content that we create that is then utilised in ads a lot of the time is content that we've created for just organic posting, does well, and then we put spend behind it. So we sort of test content firstly for free on our platforms and then go and run it as an ad if it performs well. And then also, yeah, there's marketing that we invest in through the retailers as well, whether that be their own catalogs or if they have promotions, etc.
So we know conceptually if you get someone that comes direct to you and your website, there's probably more of a spread. Like I was reading just yesterday in the AFR that Commonwealth Bank, 60% of their mortgages are written in-house at their own shops, and they like that because it's all their profit. They don't have to share the profit with brokers. Like, what's it like in your corner of the world? Like, are you like, oh, we just need to go 100% online and eventually be done with retail? Like, what are you experiencing on the ground in your business and in the industry with online versus in-store?
Yeah, no, great question. So I started initially purely just e-com, and I think I very quickly noticed that there's the shopper who prefers to always buy beauty, especially in store. It's funny because I'm actually that shopper.
Yes, I
don't really buy my beauty products online. I like to, it's an experience that I like to go in, touch, feel, play, pick it up, and maybe I'll then shop online afterwards after I've tried it in store. So I guess I noticed that we were losing out on a large portion of people who wanted that in-store experience. Also, in the last, like, since I started, online advertising has become incredibly expensive, especially to acquire a new customer. Sometimes brands are actually losing money to acquire that customer with the hope of making a return, say, after the second or third purchase. So, yeah, I think a lot of people think, oh, you know, going into retail is not as profitable because you're giving up a large portion of your margins to that retailer. But sometimes when you actually crunch the numbers, you can come out on top by going into a retail. And also, I think people forget that having retail presence is also a form of marketing because you get access to all that foot traffic and the potential to be discovered by customers who maybe would have never seen you online. So that's also something to consider as well, I think. And I think also I've noticed that it's all about convenience these days, and people want to be able to go down the road to their local Coles, for example, and just pick up their sunscreen. Like, they don't want to have to go online and wait a few days for shipping and check out. Like, for me, I'm like, that's just such a hassle.
I think sunscreen, like, I love it so much. And this is coming from, I guess you could say, a melanoma survivor. I had a melanoma cut out of my leg. So, yeah, I'm a high risk, and I have even vitamin B3 tablets every day because there was some research done. Everyone, you can look it up, Cancer Council website. If you have a skin cancer risk, having that vitamins, it reduced your skin cancer risk and blah, blah, blah. So there was some science there around the vitamin B3. So I'm like, I put sunscreen on every day and I've just made it habit. Like, even if I know that I'm not leaving the house, I just every day.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested. And your sunscreen, like, do you have any run-of-the-mill pedestrian like Glen James sunscreen, or is it all like spray on, foamy, you know, pew 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 magical?
Yeah, so we've got we do have the spray like you mentioned, and I know we market it as a reapplication mist for over makeup, but you can absolutely use it even if you're not wearing makeup, or even if you're in a situation where you don't want to put sunscreen on your hands and have to go wash your hands. Like, it's a really great hands-free way to reapply a sunscreen. We do have two sort of like lotion serum based products as well. Again, if you don't wear makeup, you don't, you know, you can still use it. So we've got a SPF 50 moisturizer and makeup primer in one. And then we've also just launched a 100% clear SPF, which is the first clear SPF to launch into Coles, actually, which is really cool. So it literally just looks like a serum, you know, like a hydrating serum that's clear. And you can actually use that to replace your moisturizer as well. So it's a hydrating serum, SPF 50, and a makeup primer in one. Again, if you don't wear makeup, you can still use it. But I guess, like, the thought behind the products as well is incorporating sunscreen skincare benefits as well, like you mentioned, so that it just becomes a part of your everyday skincare routine. And even if you're not going out, you can still be exposed to UV rays just from sitting in front of a window if you're working from home, for example, or in an office. So yeah, you're right, just having it as that non-negotiable step every day absolutely is great.
I just like, it's I was so passionate, this is wild, and it's probably not overly relevant to the listener, but I want to talk to you about it.
I
because I love using sunscreen so much daily, I think the whole sunscreen selection industry in Australia, there's so much opportunity, and I think the big incumbents have a huge slice of the pie. And the long and the short of it was, last year I actually got with a team of people and was going to look at developing effectively my own brand and line of sunscreen, and, you know, just ones that you can just rub on like soap and rub in, so it's like a dry feeling and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, well, I run a podcast, heaps of Aussies listen, I could effectively advertise it on my own show, just in terms of my own business diversification. But then I was like, oh, I don't know if I've, like, I do have the passion for it, but it was more that, and let's talk TGA, like, how do we develop a, how do we develop a healthcare product or skin product and get a stamp and get it approved? So that was kind of where I was like, oh, I'm just like, I'm in this, but not in this world enough to actually do it myself.
Yeah.
And I even looked at, I looked at another brand from overseas, and we were going to see if we could have the exclusive distributor rights for Australia. And do it that way. So I'm, again, everyone, Iris has not paid to come on the show today. We do charge people sometimes for sponsored episodes, but it was just, I'm genuinely interested in her story and all this stuff.
Yeah, it's a whole other ball game, the TGA, because I think a lot of people don't realise that sunscreens are actually drug products and they're regulated for good reason, because they're, you know, potentially preventing a disease like melanoma. And, yeah, it's a whole nother kettle of fish. And interestingly, TGA doesn't actually approve products, like as in approve them safe for use. They have a set of guidelines that products need to abide by, but it's interesting in the sense of no product is 100% safe. So in the event of a sunscreen, like, for example, there's still the possibility that someone could have a reaction to it if they're allergic to some of those actives. So, yeah, important when speaking about sunscreens that they're, a lot of people are like, is it safe? Is it approved by the TGA? And I'm like, it's TGA listed. And, yeah, no product's 100% safe. There's always the very small chance. I mean, we test for these things and, you know, tick all of the boxes and the guidelines from the TGA. But important to note that, you know, any drug product can come with potential side effects. So, yeah, there's a whole other set of criteria when testing for those products. There's longer stability times when formulating as well. Like for cosmetics, for example, you don't need to have expiry dates and you can test a cosmetic product for 3 months, whereas sunscreens need expiry dates of a minimum 2 years and need to sit on stability tests sometimes for like 6 to 12 months. So for sunscreens, obviously, to be legally sold in Australia, they have to be TGA listed and manufactured in a TGA approved facility. So this is sometimes why you might see overseas sunscreen brands that are very successful who don't launch in the Australian market, because the current manufacturer isn't a TGA licensed facility. And sometimes the brand's like, it's just too hard to go through this whole process. So if you look at the actual cost as well, I know this is a money podcast, if you look at the actual cost of just developing a sunscreen product from scratch, it's huge compared to cosmetics.
So tell me, with sunscreen, like you obviously make sunscreen, you talked about used by dates. I've got sunscreen that I keep in my boat, and should it keep out of the heat? Like if the so it needs to be out of the sun and or keep it warm, or I don't know, like just talk to us about
storage,
storage for sunscreen, because we may as well do a PSA while we've got thousands of people listening.
100%. Put your sunscreen on. Have you reapplied your sunscreen today?
Yes.
when you said boat, I was like, so yeah, sunscreens have to be stored at or below 30 degrees Celsius. If they aren't, you run the risk of the actives becoming unstable, essentially, and being less effective. So I've seen, like, I remember there was this whole ordeal on social media where someone was sharing how their sunscreen, I can't remember what brand it was, but it was an Australian sunscreen, they were TGA listed, and they got insane burns. And then I think they shared that, like, the sunscreen had been sitting in their car all summer.
I did see that.
And I was like, there's a problem.
Yes.
So, yeah, it can essentially not work. And I think in some cases as well actually cause more burning. Like, if you're putting, say, an oil-based product on and the actives aren't as effective.
There you go, everyone. We'll take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll talk a bit more about business and Monet. We'll be back right after this.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com. Click get help and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rightio, a bit of housekeeping before we get back into the chat with Iris. Our new podcast, Financially Fierce, hosted by Jess Brady. It is out there. It is living. It is wild. Hey, it's a different format that I wanted to put together for anyone who wanted to learn more about money from a different person in a different way. I can't please everyone. I'm not chocolate. However, there is an alternate podcast to listen to, hosted by Jess Brady, once a week for now. It's called Financially Fierce, and I'll be sharing more around some of the reasons we did this podcast in the coming weeks, where I'll do a big bonus business update for everyone about how we do This Is Money, the business, the rebrand, and the goals and the intent for the future. But this is just one of those things. So Financially Fierce, we're putting all our resources in behind that to really have a great alternative podcast for you to listen to around your money. That's all I wanted to update on, everyone. Thanks so much for listening always. Let's flick back into the conversation. Okay, we are back, everyone. This has been a fascinating talk. I just love talking about all this stuff. You talked about TJ Proof facility for manufacturing. So are you saying you've got because your products are made in Australia, correct?
Yeah, correct.
So my question is, in the beauty landscape, it would probably be competitive for non-sunscreen products potentially if they're being made in cheaper markets? Like, because are we saying all sunscreen that's sold in Australia has to be made here? Or at least can you get a TJ Proof facility in China or the States or somewhere?
That I'm not 100% sure on. I think, yeah, international sites can have TGA approval because I know, like, with some of our facilities, they have FDA. They're an FDA certified,
which is
for the US. So I would assume so, but I don't have experience, so I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, that's cool. So your facilities, do you just have one in Australia? Like, is it in, because you're in Perth, yeah?
Yes.
So do you just go, oh, it's just down the road and we make it here, or is it somewhere else in Australia?
Well, we have a range of suppliers all across Australia. And I think I was very set from, you know, the early days not to put all of my eggs into one basket and into one manufacturer. So I like to diversify it and not just have, you know, one supplier just doing our sunscreen. So across the range, it's sort of split and distributed all around Australia. And that's, yeah, purely for, you know, worst case scenario, touch wood, the supplier burns down, you can't get any stock for a year, like, you're screwed. So yeah, we've got it all around Australia.
Yeah, awesome. So have you found it tough to compete on price? Because you know, most things in this world, when it's, you know, a B2C game, high volume, it's a race to the bottom for cost. And that means that you actually can't play in that game if you want a sustainable business. So what would you say your competitive advantage is when you are talking with new retailers and even people online?
Yeah, for sure. So I still think our products are affordable and fairly priced for what you're getting, Australian made, quality ingredients, TGA listed. Also, the fact that you're getting multiple product benefits in the one. I think people sometimes forget that if you were to buy a makeup primer, an SPF and a moisturizer all separately of the same quality, you'd be spending a lot more than, say, $35, which is what we currently charge for a product that encompasses all the one. And you can't put a price on your time. Let's remember that. You're putting three products on, it's taking you longer.
Interesting.
Waiting for each one to soak in. So, yeah, I think we have always come from the angle of giving customers more benefits in the one product, cutting down on excess products, excess waste as well, saving you time. And also speaking about the fact that we are a small business and being open about that. Like, I've recently shared a video saying, we're a small business. We don't have the same buying power of, you know, the larger companies who are buying millions of units in one go and getting crazy cheap prices. Because obviously the more raw materials you buy, the cheaper. And yeah, just speaking about the fact that when you buy our products, you are supporting Aussie, local made, high quality ingredients, vegan as well, vegan and cruelty free.
Oh, so you don't test on animals?
No testing on animals.
Does anyone actually do that anymore though?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they do.
Really?
Well, one of the requirements to sell into China, for example, is that products have to be tested on animals. So a lot of the companies, well, all of the companies that distribute into China would legally have to test on animals. And it's also, some companies will do it in a sneaky way where that company that doesn't test on animals is actually owned by a company that does test on animals, and they just share data across.
Yeah. So I think for your, probably a lot of your products, you've just got to rule out China.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
Interestingly, a way to get around it is to actually manufacture in China. If you manufacture your products in China, you can actually get away with not having to test on animals. But if you're importing into China, then that rule kicks in.
Quick question, sidebar. You talked about like saving time. So of a morning, like, do you want to know my skin routine?
Yeah, go for it. Is it one product?
No, okay. So in the evening, I use, is it called Avene? A-V-E-N, like a cleanser?
Yeah.
So I just do like the Avene cleanser. Mm-hmm. And then I put on, is it Walida Skin Food?
Yes, yeah. Their moisturizer.
Yes, and then I just put that on. And then in the morning, just kind of wash my face or whatever, and then I put on the Walida Skin Food again.
Yeah.
And then put sunscreen on over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to, and the sunscreen I'm using, it's just the Neutrogena Hydro or something.
Yeah. Need to get you mine.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I want to try it. So do I need to wait? Like, I just do the moisturizer and then sunscreen straight on, and do I have to wait or?
Well, it's good that you're putting sunscreen last. That's number one rule. Sunscreen should always go last, because if you put other products on, like other skincare products on top of it, it can mess the film up. It sounds fine what you're doing, but you could skip the moisturizer if you use my product. Just saying.
Okay. I'm open to it. I'm going on the weekend. I'm going to go to Priceline and I'm going to get some of your sunscreen.
Yeah. Try the clear one. Go to Coles, get the clear, because that one's very hydrating. So you can definitely take, like, what's your skin type?
I don't know. White.
No. Are you like oily, dry?
No, I'm pretty dry. I'm not. So there's two types of people in this world, right? And everyone, you know it, your palms of your hand, you're a clam or a no clam.
Yeah.
I don't have a clammy hands. I don't sweat heaps. Yeah, I'm pretty dry. Yeah. So I'm a no clam. What are you?
No, I'm a no clam.
whoop. I apologize to everyone who is a clammy tropical rainforest hand person. But you do you. Thanks for the information on what I should do, but I'm definitely going to look for the clear serum from Coles. You talked about being a small business. How many people do you directly employ?
Yeah, so if you were to count everybody all over, like in the sense of everyone who touches the QuickFlick every day, like including people who like we outsource for warehousing, it'd be just over 30. And yeah, that's all, most of the team is remote as well. So based over Australia, LA, and also in London.
Mm. What's it been like trying to crack the US market?
US is huge. There's a lot more competition. And I think, yeah, you can't just copy and paste what's worked in Australia over there. It's a nice way to put it, not demanding, but...
high like, expectations?
No, it's more in terms of like fulfillment. So I see a lot of Australian right. brands, like we've launched into the US and it's like, but you're still shipping from Australia and shipping is taking 2 weeks. These people buy everything off Amazon and it comes like the same day. So I think it's just like understanding what's important to the US customer. And that's like, I bought it today. I want it today or tomorrow.
And that is creeping in here.
Yeah, 100%. So we are actually on Amazon in the US and we see a lot of sales come through there. I think people maybe find us, our website, but then go to Amazon, like Prime. I mean, yeah. I'm huge on Amazon now. Like I always will search on Amazon first.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So in terms of when you lead your team, what type of leader would you say you are?
You know, I need to ask my team this. I'd love to know what they say.
Call one of them now. Oh, put them on speakerphone.
Excuse me.
Go on. I dare you.
No. There's only one person who I could think of calling who would be on at the moment because they're in Perth and I don't want to interrupt
right.
her. I would say, like, one of the things I like about how I run my business is because the team is remote, I say, like, you don't have to be on from 9 to 5. Like, choose your own working hours. Choose when works for you. So I think a lot of the team appreciates that flexibility to sort of set their own hours. And I'm always like, if as long as it gets done, I don't care how long it takes you or if you do it, if you're sitting on a beach, like just as long as it gets done. And I think probably the team would say like they enjoy being part of our mission, which is to sort of reinvent beauty products. We have a lot of fun on our marketing as well. Like I know our marketing team loves some of the crazy shit that we do. I'm not afraid to like sort of think outside the box, push boundaries when it comes to content. Like I'm always like any idea is a good idea, just as long as it's a crazy idea. Like
This is wild, but have you ever thought, so I used to use Clarins for Men, right?
Yeah.
Which is probably just Clarins and marketing for men. Have you ever thought about trying to go down that route? So if someone was a product user of your stuff, they could buy the man version for their man?
You know what? I don't like men's, like separate men's marketing. It's like you look at the ingredients and it's like literally the same thing, just repackaged.
Oh my gosh. Can I talk to you about something real talk?
Yeah.
There is a competitor of yours and we'll get Nathan to beep it out, but it's and I'll get him to beep out the different variants as well. They've got bloody this
it's
and that.
It's so confusing.
But on the back, I looked at them all.
It's the same.
It's the same, exactly the same product.
It's the same repackaged. I mean, it's the same for razors as well.
Yes.
Like men's and women's razors. And then you have the pink tax and they're charging women more for female, you know, branded razors. But yeah, I don't like, those whole different categories because I think it can be really confusing to the consumer.
Yep.
And, a lot of the times you turn the bottle over and it's literally the same thing. I have had people, feedback saying, could you make the product without pink because then I would use it.
Wow,
so potentially, I think I definitely did that with our new sunscreen mousse. I did it in more like universal colours, white and yellow. I think it's more like also the shape of the product. Like, some women have said to me like, oh, my husband's embarrassed to use the sunscreen spray because of the shape and all the guys at golf teased him. Because it
interesting
looks like a sex toy.
Yeah. Well, hey. So future plans, what's next? Like, is there always a next, or are you happy just to continually putting the same amount of effort into what you've got and being always on and always there for people? Or are you literally like looking for houses in LA?
Yeah, that'd be nice. There's always a next for me. I think that's just in my personality. Like, I'm always like looking to the next thing. It's probably something I need to work on. Like, I'm not great at celebrating my achievements. Like, if something amazing happens, I'm like, yeah, it's cool, but like, what's next? Instead of actually stopping and being like, holy shit, we've launched 2 new products into Coles, you know, I'm already, what's those next products that are coming in? And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's just because I genuinely love what I do. I'm always like, next. But yeah, I think next for us would be continuing to expand the product range. I think we've got a really good partnership happening with all of our retailers and some really good opportunity from them. I have to shout out Coles. Like, I think they've been absolutely amazing with giving us so much opportunity, so much space as well, and creative freedom to create some really cool products that haven't been in the retail space yet in Australia. And it's not just with our brands as well. Like, after us, they gave a lot of space to TBH, which is also it's a skincare brand, and it's female founded and owned. And I've seen Frank Bodies just launch their everyday range as well into Coles. So I think it's really cool that they're bringing in new innovation, and that innovation belongs to Aussie businesses.
I know people from Qantas listen to this because I've chatted to you on Instagram before. Let's get some quick flick sunscreen into some, you know, business class little pouches.
Yeah, we've got mini sizes. We've got a travel pack in Coles.
Yeah, so Qantas, come on. Let's get the quick flick flying.
100%, I'm down for that.
Let's do it.
Have you seen some of the stats, Glenn, around UV exposure is insanely higher when you're flying at higher altitudes, and that pilots and flight attendants are more susceptible to like melanoma because of that UV exposure?
Absolutely. Crazy, right? Yeah. It's wild. So let's get this product out there. In the short time that we've got, how do you think you've personally grown or changed in the last 7 years? Is there one or two big things as like, I am a different person now because of this? Or,
well, I think like the main one that's really changed me is going to therapy, if I'm completely honest, if we're going to speak real. When I started my business, I probably wasn't in the best space. Not probably, I definitely wasn't in the best space mentally. I was very young when I started. I was only 22 and had left home when I was 18. Come from a domestic violence upbringing. I actually moved out of home when I was 17, just before my 18th birthday, and hadn't really ever dealt with what went on at home, and escaped that through my work and used it as a distraction, and found myself extremely depressed in the sense of trying to find happiness by working harder. And then when I didn't find the happiness from working harder, I was like, what's the point? Like, I really did hit rock bottom, if I'm honest. And this was actually just after Shark Tank. On paper, like, everything looked amazing. My business was doing exceptionally well. Like, you'd think, why is this girl so unhappy? Then that was around 2018. And then I went on this crazy spiritual journey of really healing the horror that happened growing up. And it completely changed my life. It completely changed the way I ran my business. I ended up completely restructuring my business, getting new people in, because the way I'd built it was from this old version of me that was running from a very dark place. So that would probably be the number one biggest way I've grown. I'll relate it back to money. But I would also say, the way I approach money changed. I definitely had a shopping addiction at one point, and that was from me trying to feed this emptiness inside of me, and I bought things to make myself feel happy, and it became an unhealthy addiction. And through a lot of the therapy I did, I healed that and realized I was trying to seek external validation from people because I wasn't internally validating myself. So, yeah, definitely gotten better with that. And all the money that I'm not spending, I'm reinvesting into my own personal investments and into the company. So, yeah.
You mentioned own personal investments.
Yeah.
What, and it's probably a bit of a transition, like taking money off the table, diversifying out of the business, and because we all need to invest for our future. It's just people like us, a big chunk of that is our business. Conceptually high level, you don't need to give any numbers, but what do you invest in?
Yeah, so property. My first home I built, I was very great timing pre-COVID. that came from me taking money out of my business. Since then, I haven't actually taken money out and I'm very focused on reinvesting back into the business to continue to grow. I mean, if you look at how many products we've launched recently, it takes a lot of cash. Property and then also shares, and that's just all automatically set up. I actually need to move them across, but I go between Sharesies and Perla, and I just have it all automatically running. Pay comes in, things go out, nice, clean and simple, so I don't have to think about it. In the early days, I bought a bit of crypto. That was actually my first investment was crypto. That's kind of how it's sort of split.
So someone's listening to this, they want to potentially start something, they've got an idea. What advice would you have for aspiring entrepreneurs? All of us, whether it's skin care or sunscreen or it's a podcast brand, an entrepreneur or you run a cafe, hair studio, whatever, You've got this ability to create something out of nothing and then that produces revenue. It's just so wild. So what would you say to someone who wants to create something or do something?
Yeah. Oh gosh, how much time do you have? Let me dot point list it so I can get through a few things.
Yeah.
I think number one, and I know we hounded it earlier, is like choose something that you're passionate in. I think that's the number one most important. So that you're passionate in and that authenticity comes through when you're running your day-to-day in your marketing. Like it's so important. I think that's like number one. Number two, and I think this has come from my own personal mistakes, learnings, know your numbers. Even if you're not a numbers person, I don't believe in that because I think we all have the ability to learn it. It's just shit we've been told growing up. I see so many entrepreneurs who are like, I'm a creative-minded person. I don't get it. I'll give it to someone else. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Know your numbers. Be checking them regularly. And I think there's power in knowing that because then you can make the right decisions for your business. I think number three, surround yourself with the right people, the right support network. I think that's why in the early days I didn't tell a lot of people that I was starting my business. And when I did start sharing it, there was so much doubt. People were like, it's not going to work. You've just spent 4 years studying architecture. Why would you throw that away to sell eyeliner? Really? Oh, that's cute. That's a nice hobby. Like I think those stories can get into our subconscious mind and we start doubting and telling ourselves these little stories, we can't do it. And then it stops us before we even start. And I think for maybe like leading back to product, I think if you can create something that solves a genuine problem, you're already a step ahead because people like to purchase products that make their life easier. And that's like half the battle with marketing. Like if you can quickly demonstrate like this will save you time or it makes it easier or whatever it is, I think you're onto a winner.
Yeah, because, it's easy to test the market. Like there's a guy, Noah Kagan, he was on one of our other shows, This Is Investing, and he's got this book called The Million Dollar Weekend, basically starting a business over the weekend and getting the idea and even just calling four people and go, hey, would you buy this?
Yeah.
Calling 10 people, is this something? That's some really good market research to see if there is a need.
100%, yeah. I even know some of my friends who, when they were trying to test their company, they just did a rough website build, put a little bit of spend behind ads and saw how it converted. And even just, and then just refund the customers afterwards saying, you know, sorry, we don't have stock.
Yeah.
Just to test it. Well,
it's just that test to learn and move fast, fail fast, all that stuff. Final question. What does success look like for you? What's your own definition of success?
Great question. To be honest, I think I feel most successful when I'm reading, it's so cliche, when I'm reading reviews from our customers, like just getting those DMs from people saying, you've changed my life with sunscreen, like it's wild. But yeah, getting those DMs or from, you know, parents saying, I've never been able to get my kid to apply sunscreen, but he loves the mousse and it actually gets him excited about it. Or I feel so much more confident now that I can, you know, apply my winged eyeliner and get out the door in the morning. I think just getting that reassurance from our customers that we're making even just a small difference in improving their lives, I think that's the real success for me.
That's awesome. So everyone, this is what you need to do. You need to get your phone in your hand. If you're driving, don't do it now. You need to search the quick flick on Instagram. You need to smash that follow button. And next time you go to Coles or Priceline, I'm asking you to support a local Australian business who is out there crushing it and effectively competing against incumbents that have multi-million dollar budgets and huge footprints. And there's enough for everyone. There's enough to go around. So if you found this episode useful, please share it with a friend. One thing I did write down, Terry White, just so I'm aware, because I know a pharmacist who owns a Terry White store, if you're listening, Amy, is it just Terry White have access to it and some of their shops can order it through their buying catalogs, or is it in every Terry White? How's that part work?
Well, it should be in 450 Terry Whites.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it is a recent launch, so some might not have the whole range just yet, but it should be. If not, ring them in advance and check.
Yep. So if you're listening, Terry, how are you? I wrote down one thing that I didn't ask you, and this will be the last one. I'm sorry, everyone. What's your exit? What's your succession plan?
I don't have it fully down yet. I know eventually I would like to exit, but I still have so much that I want to do. I wouldn't want to exit now. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. I'm still young. one day definitely, you know, maybe within the next 10 years. If we're going to speak about, you know, there's enough for everyone, and I'm going to bring a competitor in here, but I think like what Bondi Sands did was absolutely phenomenal and they should be so proud of themselves. What they did over a 10-year period, completely revolutionising the tanning industry, and they exited recently for a very nice price tag. I think what they've done is great, and I would, if I was to exit, it would have to be to the right partner who would really be able to take that business to the next level that I wouldn't be able to do. And I think that's what they've done. They've given it to a Japanese company with huge international fingers everywhere, and they're just going to take it to the next level. So yes, but it would have to be to the right people.
Iris Smith, thank you so much for joining us on This Is Money. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much for having me, Glenn.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live and work and pay respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to this podcast. If you are interested in furthering your education around money, your career or property, we have 3 books that might help. Check out Sort Your Money Out, Sort Your Career Out and Sort Your Property Out. Find these wherever good books are sold or via the link in the podcast show notes. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Simo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorised representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.